hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Drop under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome now. We're two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master on the Turks and Caicos Explorer to live aboard. We are on the Silver Banks, just off the coast of the Dominican Republic. On this boat, we've been snorkeling with humpback whales all week. It has been a phenomenal adventure, has it not, Walt DeMartini?
It's been the greatest. My buddy, who is the mermaid wrangler, the pilot, the rum drinker, and a few of those other things, the diving god, and I messed up on that. Mr. Watson's a diver.
Yeah, exactly. Don't promote me to that level. But we've had a little bit of everything this week, and being that there's no diving on board, Walt DeMartini, my professional rum drinker, has been teaching me accordingly this week. What have we been drinking? The local Dominican Republic libation is what?
I have no idea, but it's really good.
I think it's a Brugal. I'll help you out there, Walt. It, obviously, we're well into happy hour already here today, at this particular moment. Actually, you know, we're recording the show. This is the last day of snorkeling with the whales. And we have had some phenomenal adventures and met some great people here on board. We're going to talk to some of the crew. JF, who has been on the show many times before when I've been on the Turks and Caicos Explorer 2, live aboard, is going to join us here in just a bit. He's the captain. However, some of the folks that are here on the boat just to experience the whales like myself, we met Jan in hour one. Jan from Amsterdam. How are you hanging in there, buddy?
Still great. Thank you.
Humpback whales were awesome, weren't they?
They were fantastic.
Now, you have your better half with you here. I'm helping you out by saying
yes.
That, right?
Yes, that's
okay,
right.
Okay, good. And and you are a diver, and this is a snorkel-only adventure, but you were telling me during the top of the hour there that the reason you booked this trip was because it would be better for your wife. Is that the deal?
Yeah, well, it was a coincidence. My wife and I were talking, and she was saying, you get to go on all... She doesn't dive, but she says, oh, you get to go on all these great trips and all these liveaboards. And just the next day... she lets me go on them. The next day, by coincidence, I got an email with saying, oh, there's some spaces available on the first whale trip of the year. And I thought, wow, this is meant to be, so... and no diving, I thought, perfect. So let's she can experience a liveaboard.
Liveaboard, get some of the fun stuff that you've encountered as a diver. Because, Linda, you're not a diver, right?
No. I'm claustrophobic. I don't like my head underwater at any time.
At any time. However, you thought, well, I could maybe do the snorkeling thing. In a worst-case scenario, I could hang out on the boats and watch the whales, right?
I like to snorkel because I want to make sure I always have a steady supply of air. I'm never going to run out.
Just stick it in your mouth and suck it. That's all you got to do.
What's
so funny?
Yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, you're from Amsterdam. You're used to hearing that kind of thing, right?
No.
Okay. Sorry. I just made a. I might have created an international incident right there, but we'll just leave it alone. But you have enjoyed this trip as a non-diver in a trip like this where you can. You can snorkel, you can hang out on the boat. It's really the best of both worlds, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. It has been just so relaxing, and the people have been wonderful.
Yeah, and, you know, as a diver, you know, one of the things going into this trip, I kind of wondered, would I like this? I mean, I knew I'd love the whales. I had no doubt the whale encounters were going to be phenomenal. But I'm used to coming on a liveaboard and doing diving all week. How about you, Jan? Did you miss any of the diving aspects or not?
I was to say, I sort of wondered if when I got on there and I was snorkeling, I would have the urge to just go down into the water further. But no, I think it was more than enough. The activity we saw at the surface and just below the surface.
Yeah, it was like, all the benefits of diving without having to deal with the tanks and the schedule that you usually have to do. Is actually, believe it or not, when you go on a typical liveaboard and you have four or five dives a day, it's not nearly anything stressful by any stretch of the imagination, but this actually brings the stress even down a notch. As far as being a diver, because you don't have to mess with that part. You just jump in the boat. We go out and watch some whales, jump in the water if they'll allow us, and have the best of both worlds. It's pretty nice.
Yeah, it's much more relaxing. You didn't have to, check your air levels, check all those things. You can have a drink with dinner if you want without thinking about going on a night dive.
Exactly. So a lot of, I guess the thing is like... not that we're overly stressed on these liveaboards when we're diving, but this is just a whole new level, and it's nice. And what do you think, Linda? Would you come back and do this again? Or would you ever consider doing the diving thing, or would it have to be a whale trip like this?
I will do the diving thing as long as I can snorkel.
Well, of course you could snorkel. I mean, you've been on this boat now. You go to the Turks and Caicos, and he could dive, and you could just hang out on the boat all day and watch the bubbles and things, right?
I could do that,
yeah. They could hook you up with some snorkeling. They get great snorkeling off the coast of Provenci. What is it? Provo. We'll call it Provo.
Sometimes it's not just a diving vacation. It's also a vacation away from everything else.
Okay. Well, all right. So, yeah, it's a matter of who's getting the vacation, her or you, when you go out on these liveaboards. Right, Jan?
Exactly right.
Yeah, trust me. My wife's right with her. All right. So, Jess... he's one of the folks on the boat with us, too. Is this your first liveaboard trip, Jesse?
No, I've actually been on a couple. I've been on the Juliet down in the Keys and the Aquacat of the Bahamas.
Okay, but this was your first whale trip, obviously.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Once-in-a-lifetime trip. It's great.
Expectations, have they been exceeded? Or what did you think going into this? Did you think it would be this cool, really?
I expected to get in the water with whales. I didn't expect little calves to come up and actually play with us. And, just the interaction alone, it's amazing. As opposed to just getting in and seeing a whale passing by, they're coming up and, interacting with you, which is on a whole nother level.
Yeah, it is. We got some great footage. The singing whales were phenomenal. You actually got that on video. And you got some audio on your video of the singing whale?
Yeah, I was lucky enough to, just start recording, shooting video, and I got about 7 minutes of the whale, directly below me, just singing, clear as day, and then, it was beautiful. As he trailed off into the distance, you could see him as the music trailed out, so I'm sure that'll be, great to, show and just admire for a while.
Well, no doubt. Now, I don't have the audio from Jesse's tape, but I have my impression, so I'll give it to you. How's that?
Yeah. It says.
You want to give it a shot, Jesse? Go. What do you think? Let me hear your best whale impression.
Pretty much what you did, but I throw in a lot of clicks.
All right. He obviously hasn't been drinking enough. You hear what I'm saying, Jan?
I know what you're saying.
Maybe later on we'll get him to do his best whale impression. But obviously another testimonial from somebody here on the boat having a good time. What about you? Can you do a whale impression, or do you? You've had enough rum, haven't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he obviously has not had enough rum. Who else is on the boat, and we haven't talked about this yet, is the mermaid puppet. And she has been hanging around, and she has been mugging for photos for the passengers and for ourselves for scubaradio.com. We're going to get some on there. And she's been found in some precarious poses here on the boat. What's that all about, Walt?
I've seen her actually in the head with a fish.
Okay, you mean you caught him? You walked in on something?
She was in there with the fish. I can't tell you what they were doing, but I hope her name's not Bubbles.
Okay. Well, you know, did you take any pictures of that? Or is there a video? Is there like a grainy, like night vision video of this encounter that is going to be released on YouTube, you think?
Not that I know of, but one might be available for sale.
Okay. $9.95, you know, on scubaradio.com. I don't know. I haven't seen the video myself, but I can only imagine knowing what she's done in the past. So we will see where that leads. We got to talk to some of the crew here and give you an idea of what it's like to work a liveaboard boat like this. I mean, we've done this before, but we haven't done one where they don't have to do the diving. All they have to do is get the divers and snorkelers out there to the whales and kind of orchestrate a rendezvous with the whales. It's a little different type of setup here on the Turks and Caicos Explorer 2 liveaboard on the Silverbanks. That's all coming up next. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com. But it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
She is home to the oldest protected rainforest in the Western Hemisphere, the largest brain coral in the world, and she's considered the true jewel of the Caribbean Sea. Her sparkle will live in your memory long after you have left her shores. Tobago is her name, and she is now calling for you. Pristine coral reefs teeming with rich marine life are just the beginning. Find out why this is so in Tobago by going to visittobago.gov.tt. That's visittobago.gov.tt.
Scuba diver, scuba, 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 uber, scuba, duba, uber, hover, scuba, scuba diver.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We're sitting on the main deck of the Turks and Caicos Explorer 2 liveaboard. My buddy, Walt DeMartini, gazing out at the sunset right now, waiting for the green flash. Could it happen here off the coast of the Dominican Republic there, Walt?
It's possible. Actually, I saw the mermaid running earlier this evening back and forth behind the stern of the boat holding a Heineken bottle up with a flashlight in it.
You think that's a trick, huh?
I think it's a trick. And, you know, I don't trust her anymore. When I first got on board, I kind of looked up to her. When I caught her in the head with the fish, it was just like... She just
kind of came down a notch or two on your respectable scale, huh?
Quite a few notches. But now, look, we are looking for this green flash tonight. It may or may not happen. I don't see a lot of clouds on the horizon, so there's a possibility. And in all the years that I've looked for it, probably 40, 50 years, I've seen it 2.5 times. Once in Bimini, as I was putting a diver into the water, it actually happened. And then once at Great Harbor Cay, there's a... a little pub up on a top of a hilltop that overlooked the West Coast.
And that was Heineken bottle influenced?
No, it was not. It was strictly the Green Flash. And then once again, not too long ago over in Bimini, I saw half of it. There was a little cloud that cut off half the flash. It's a little small box. So it was a half flash.
It was a half flash. Okay. And we're talking about the Green Flash, not some girl you met at the bar.
No, she was off like a flash.
Yeah, I gotcha. Okay. Well, hey, look, we're hanging out here on the main deck after our day of snorkeling with the humpback whales, Alberto and his gang. Alberto, you have kind of like a gang here on the boat, don't you? You've kind of become the ringleader for the Dominican Republic segment of our passenger crew, our rowdy group. Is that true?
Yes, I unofficially I do lead that rowdy group. In fact, we've been practicing the new moves for the night.
Some new moves?
Yes.
Yeah, well, like what moves? You like a tail lob? You were showing me that last night on the dance floor.
Was it the tail slap or the tail?
Or tail slap? Tail I don't slap. Know. What was that? A fin slap, a tail slap, tail lob? You were working on them all.
Well, we have a few learned new defensive behaviors. Now we're naming them tonight. We'll give them to you later.
Now, are you the escort or the challenger?
I am always the challenger.
Oh, you're always the challenger. Okay. And one of the females that has been a victim of this kind of stuff is Brenda. Now, Brenda, talk to me as much as you can. So how do you feel about this? Are you enjoying diving in the whales? In your little rowdy group here, are they keeping you in check or what?
Very much. I'm very, very entertained, either the whales or the rowdy group.
Yeah, both. The guys, the Dominican guys or the whales, either one, they're entertaining you both ways.
If I have to choose... It would be really difficult.
It would be different? You'd pick the guys over the whales?
I don't know. Maybe. So.
Well, just keep working it. We got another night to go. But thanks for checking in. You're loving this trip, though, huh?
So far, it has been amazing.
Are you a scuba diver, too, or no?
Yes, indeed. Yes.
So do you miss the diving part, or is it just so much to look at with these whales? You really don't miss much, do you?
You don't miss anything, because with the scuba, I think you get a little bit more... not so mobile and so
right.
At the surface.
Sure.
So, yeah, it's definitely a snorkeling trip.
Yeah, and it's more laid back, more easygoing, more relaxing, right?
Exactly.
With the exception of the rowdy group.
Exactly.
Yeah. Where they start salsa dancing, next thing you know, there's a challenger and escort, and all hell breaks loose.
Has she been involved in any of the tequila imparting with the rowdy group?
Yeah, that seems to be the beverage of choice with your group. Is that true, the tequila?
Yes, always. Sí. I'm not drinking myself tequila, but yes. I mean, I'm Mexican. I always go to with.
It's the law.
It's the law, absolutely.
Right, exactly. Okay, good. Yeah, we may have to partake in some of these local libations and kind of mix in with the locals. What do you think there, Walt?
I think it would be a great thing to do.
Can you mix up your rum with tequila and just for, you know, like being a USA ambassador for these folks or what?
I think since we're in the Dominican Republic, all bets are off, and we can just about do anything we want to for the remainder of the evening.
Yes, indeed. Now, they're looking at some photos while they partake in a beverage or two. I got some amazing shots today of that baby, that calf. It came right up to us, like Jan was talking about it earlier. I mean, when I came on this boat, my expectations were pretty high because I've seen video and I've heard stories of people that have been on this trip. And all I really wanted to get personally was a great still shot of a whale on the surface, like that whale tail shot that Bob Talbot gets on his world famous Magnetera picture. Now, I wasn't expecting to get that photo itself, but I wanted to get at least a cheap version of it through my eyes. And sure enough, we've had whale tails flopping around. I got a shot of that, and I wanted to get some underwater stuff, and I got that as well today. What about you? Were you doing any of that or no?
No, but I had a few shots along the evening. I had some Brugal shots.
Yes.
I had some Mexican shots, and right now I'm just looking for this green flash.
Yes, we're just minutes away from the green flash. Where's the Heineken bottle? Do you have a green glass, I see. You're going to substitute that possibly as a backup?
No, the mermaid's got the green Heineken bottle with the flashlight in it.
Yeah, of course. She's passed out in the rinse bucket here on the Turks and Caicos Explorer, too. That would be the second time we found her there.
I love it.
Yes. Well, it's a good thing. And, you know, we're going to talk to some of the crew. JF is a good friend I've met over the years. He's been on this boat many times. I don't know if they bring him in just when Scuba Radio comes on board these trips, but I'm starting to think there may be a some kind of conspiracy along those lines. I think Clay sets that up because JF knows what to expect when we come on board. Do you think?
He's a fantastic captain, I'll tell you. I've been on board with a lot of captains. He's right up there, number one in my book.
Yeah, and you've done a lot of this yourself, operating a vessel like this. Back in the day, you did the Necton. You've done many dive boats, but it takes a lot of work to manage one of these vessels, I'm guessing, doesn't it?
Yeah, you're on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. With the captain, the buck stops with him, and this guy is on the ball. He's number one in my book.
Yeah, well, there you go. So, JF, we're going to talk to him, as well as some of the crew, some more of the passengers. You know, a lot of people got some great shots. And what are you seeing? No green flash?
No green flash tonight, guys.
The, just went down, huh?
Taken over.
The clouds have covered it up. Well, it'll just give us another excuse to come out here again and try to catch the green flash. That's what you do on a liveaboard trip. Every evening at sunset, everybody gathers, you know, for happy hour before dinner, heads out here on the main deck, on the sun deck, and looks for the green flash, or at least looks for a picture-perfect sunset, which we definitely got that, don't you think?
Except that sleazy mermaid.
Yes, well, she's out there somewhere. You know, she's missing the sunset as usual, hanging out with the fish in the head, according to Walt. There's some video or something, I don't know. It's bad. Bad news.
It's right after the Paris Hilton video.
Yeah.
I've met a lot of Greg's mermaids, but this one just... is a new low.
Yeah, well, you know, we're a dive show. What do you want?
Scuba Radio. Scuba. Scuba Radio.
All right, so we've moved into the galley. We just had dinner, and the captain, JF, is with me right now. JF, good to see you again.
Hi, Craig. How are you?
Hey, do you feel good about seeing me again, or what?
I don't know. How many times have you been on board?
You know what? I think it's my fourth time on this particular boat, but we've been on many of the Explorer Ventures liveaboards, but it's probably been about four times with you, I think.
Four or five times, yeah, between here.
It was four, here. But it feels like five or six, right?
Maybe even more, yeah.
Yes, well, but I came mermaidless on this trip. Is that okay?
I don't know if I'll allow you to come back mermaidless.
Yes. He was a little disappointed, but we did bring the puppet. And the puppet is, I don't know, she's gotten into a little trouble here on the boat. Did you catch her in the head? Or was that just Walt?
No, I think that was just Walt, and puppet just don't do it for me.
Yeah, the mermaid puppet and a blowfish were doing something inappropriate, and I don't know. It just happens. But how do you like running this itinerary, JF, as opposed to one of the other dive trips in the Turks and Caicos? It's a little different setup for you, isn't it?
It's very different, but it's incredible. Just watching the whale, when you get here first and you watch them jumping, breaching, as they say, and doing all their stuff. It is a unique experience.
Yeah, it's a lot to see just on board the main boat, let alone getting out on the tenders. Did you get out on the tenders at all this week or no?
No, not this week. It was the first week, and we said make sure that everything was set properly. Maybe next week.
You got about 10 weeks to work through the process here and get in the water with the humpbacks. But in the meantime, you got some good shots just from the from the bridge here of the Turks and Caicos Explorer, too, didn't you?
Just coming in the first day, they just welcome us breaching out of the water and rolling and making bubbles and all kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely, they put on a nice show right here from the main boat. Do you find this more difficult to handle, to orchestrate, though, than working with the divers?
Not really, just different.
Just different. Just it mixes it up. Keep things interesting for you, right?
Yeah.
We don't have mermaids, but we have whales. So JF was happy in that regard. What are you laughing at?
Yeah, the whale.
He likes mermaids better. Okay, of course. Don't we all?
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
The moment you tell Stanley that I have asthma, because I don't, if it gets out, they won't let me scuba. If I can't scuba, then what's this all been about? What am I working toward?
Take it on.
Welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Now we've moved out to the bow of the Turks and Caicos Explorer 2 live aboard here as we're cruising back from the Silver Banks off the coast of the Dominican Republic. At the end of our cruise, a very special location on this boat, isn't it, Clay? This is your boat. This is one of your favorite spots, isn't it?
This is my favorite spot on the boat. It's a nice, you know, nice calm bow. It's private, and we're sitting here in probably a 3-foot following sea, if that, some gentle rollers, and it's a beautiful day, and it's a great way to end a trip.
It is. You can hear the water lapping up against the hull as we speak, so let it paint that mental picture for you as we talk some more about humpback whales. You're liking this too, Walt, right?
Oh, I'm having a fantastic time out here. Something I've first always wanted to do and finally got to do it for the first time.
Yes, and by the way, the mermaid puppet right now is out abusing one of the humpback whale models, or I don't know what's going on, but there's a little statue that she's having her way with it, or what?
The last time I saw her, she was indisposed.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, there's a video on YouTube or something. It'll be a night vision one, I'm sure. But we'll leave that for another show. Now, Tom Conlon is the whale man. And by the way, Tom, before I forget, we got to give your website out there so people know how to get a hold of you and can join you on one of these adventures. It is
www.aquaticadventures.com.
Okay, there you go. And we'll get that out again before the end of the show to remind you how you can join the whale man on these adventures and a whole bunch of other neat excursions that he hosts and welcomes people like you, divers around the world, to go interact with different types of critters. But this week it's humpback whales, and we have seen some amazing behavior from these whales. And let's talk about why they're doing what they're doing, or why are they here in the first place?
Well, this is the largest mating and calving grounds of humpback whales in the world, simply because the North Atlantic population is the largest population of humpbacks. And out of the different mating and calving grounds in the Caribbean, the Silverback is the largest. They estimate between 5,000 and 7,000 whales will come through in this 3-4 month period. They're here to mate and calve. Come down. The females are all in estrus. The male's testosterone is going crazy. And they compete to get next to the female. The female is looking for a healthy mate. So doing a lot of these surface behaviors and the singing behaviors, it tells the female who's healthy, who's strong. There could be one male out here that services all these females.
It's like a whale gigolo type of thing, or what is it?
Well, it's kind of like Club Med for whales. Okay?
Nice.
It's a place where this is what they're here. They're not feeding. They're not doing anything except to come here and mate and calve.
Now, when the females are calving, are they mating as well, or what's going on there?
No, typically a female will give birth every 2 to 3 years. Now, that doesn't mean a female that gives birth, within 30 days, she goes back into estrus. And it doesn't mean that we haven't seen repetitive births by the same female. It's just rare. There's usually a couple-year break because that female is going to lose about one-third her body weight by the time that calf weans in about 10 months. So she has very little time to build up the fat that she needs to be able to support the new calf.
Right, and you think the guys like her probably after she's lost some of that weight. She looks a little more sexy in her bikini kind of thing going on.
Well, I think she, yeah, they're definitely sexy to me. I mean, they're an incredible they're incredible to me.
Well, they are humpback whales, so there has to be some activity going on in that regard, I guess. What about the behaviors that they actually do? Some of this lobtailing thing where they take their fluke up out of the water and smack it against the surface. What's that all about?
Well, it's about creating noise, whether it's solicitation or warning off or just having a good time out there during a certain time of the day. The louder they can slam that tail down onto the surface of the water, the stronger they appear. So you might have a male who is an escort next to the female, and you have some challengers coming in to try to get in that position because whoever's next to the female becomes the escort. So the male will slam his tail down really, really hard to tell these other whales, look, I'm stronger than you, back off. Where a female, if she doesn't like the male, all of a sudden you see a whole different type of demeanor. It's more of a solicitation. It's like, over here, I'm sexy. You know, come get this guy away from me.
Yeah, I'm like a hair flip or something that a girl at a bar might do.
Wiggle down the street. Yeah, absolutely.
Or wiggle, okay. Yeah, shaking her moneymaker,
that's
so
right.
to speak.
Absolutely.
Her tail, right.
Shaking her tail.
Yeah, okay. Well, that makes sense. And, you know, one of the things we learned right off the bat is that these animals are very acoustic. I mean, even when we were going out on the tenders, Denise was telling us when we put on our fins to be very careful about slapping the fins against the hull of the boat. That would actually spook them, possibly, or what?
Well, any abrupt noise, whether it's slapping your fins on the deck of the boat, getting your fins on, or splashing, getting into the water, or being aggressive in the water, kicking your fins on the surface, creates a noise. And because they depend on acoustics for everything, that noise may make them turn off. As divers, you know that it's very easy to go one body length underwater. Well, if you're sitting in 80-foot visibility with a 45-foot whale that weighs 100,000 pounds and it just wants to get away, one body length and they're gone. So we need to let them come to us on their terms, and as long as we respect them, we get great encounters.
Yeah, and you kind of ease up to them, gradually get the engine noise used to them by easing up on to where they're hanging out. And then they seem to almost welcome you into the group or just maybe they're oblivious. I don't know, but we've had a couple that actually came and looked like they were checking out the tenders. Do you think they think they're other whales or just curious or what?
Well, I think a lot of it has to be is curious. I think they're smart enough to know that we're not whales. I think that what's evolved in the last 22 years is these calves are born. Mothers become cooperative with us in the water. Then the calf, after about 4 years, they become sexually mature. The females, the males become sexually mature, but they're probably not mature enough to compete against the bigger males. So they don't become sexually active probably till they're 10, 12 years old. Where the females at four may come back with a calf at five. Now, once she comes back with that calf, she remembers that this isn't so bad, okay? So we become like the babysitters for them. They rest down there because it's very tiring for the mother because the calf's always moving, has to come up and breathe every 3 to 4 minutes when they're first born, or the mother can stay down 20, 25 minutes. We become the watch. We watch the calf for. The calf then interacts with us. Once we build the confidence of the mother that we will not do anything wrong to her calf.
Yeah, we're not a threat, and therefore they feel more comfortable of letting us get up close and observe and that kind of thing. Now, does that type of behavior happen anywhere else in the world? Or that's pretty unique to here, isn't it?
Well, it's unique for humpback whales, for sure, and big marine mammals, because they're all different. I've been fortunate enough to be around 27 different cetaceans in different parts of the world, and approaching them and getting in the water with them is all different. The Silverbank is, to me, one of it's just a magical place. It's in this hemisphere, one of the last frontiers. It's 85 miles offshore. There's coral heads, thousand. I have probably 1,300 coral heads that come to the surface in the area where we moor. So you don't have boat traffic out there. We're far enough offshore that you don't have the weekend warriors coming out in their boats and their windsurfers and their jet skis. And it's a perfect place for what they're doing out here.
Yeah, and it's very regulated. Only three boats are allowed out here during the season, two tenders per boat. So it's a very exclusive type of thing to experience in the first place. And I guess that's because of the whales. You want to protect this resource or protect this space for the whales too, right?
Right. It's all about not harassing the whales and respecting them. And we have three permits. There's one research permit as well. So the most boats out here at one time would be 8 tenders, okay, which the area can support that. Any more than that, it would become just too hectic because we're all tucked up into the northeast corner because of all the coral head protection, because of how far offshore we are. We could have 12, 14-foot seas on the flip side of the reef, but at the mooring area, we're in 2, 3, 4-foot seas max.
Yes, and I would imagine these humpback whales, are they endangered, threatened, anything like that? What?
Well, the North Atlantic population is on the endangered species list. I've been told by researchers from NOAA that the process to take them off the endangered species list is in a forward motion because they are coming back strong. Now, that's good and bad. But the good part is that they are coming back strong, and that the money that's allocated for humpback whales will go to other animals that are more endangered. The bad part is, you know, people might act differently because they're off the endangered species list. But, you know...
Well, let's hope not. They're definitely worth saving when you get out here up close and personal. It's an amazing experience, and I think you want to protect what you love and encounter like that. That's one of the reasons you come out and do this, possibly. All right, more coming up on Singing Whales next.
Scuba Radio.
Greg the Dive Master is sitting by the phone now, wishing it would ring, hoping that it's you on the other end of the line. Tug on his line now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact K7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of Force Fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, Force Fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes Force Fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of Force Fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
Bula, that's the greeting you get from the smiling, generous Fijians who welcome you to Fiji. And while Fiji's friendly people, white sand beaches, rainforest, and waterfalls are a huge draw for any traveler, divers in the know consider Fiji the soft coral capital of the world. With direct regular flights from LAX on Air Pacific, it's never been easier to live your Fiji experience. Go to FijiMe.com to book dive packages from backpacker to five-star spa resorts. That's FijiMe.com.
Infotainment.
We're lost children of the sea.
We are setting out on the bow of the Turks and Caicos Explorer 2 liveaboard, coming back in from the Silver Bank just off the coast of the Dominican Republic. Greg the Dive Master and Tom Conlon, who is with Aquatic
Adventures, www.aquaticadventures.com.
Right, and we're going to talk about that some more, some of the other dive adventures that he offers around the world. But right now, I got to talk about probably the standout moment for me personally. Actually, there was a couple with these humpback whales out here on the Silver Bank. First one was the singing whale. That was phenomenal. As soon as we jumped off the tender into the water, you could hear this whale singing, and it was just a phenomenal thing. What are they doing exactly when it comes to this whale singing stuff?
It's all about solicitation, a deep deep voice. The males are typically it's the males that are going to sing. I'd like to believe the females do it too. I'd like to believe that the calves, after hearing it and they learn to vocalize, they start doing it. But typically what happens is the males will either move slowly and sing to solicit whales in, or they'll point their head down on the bottom of the ground and bounce that noise off the bottom to go omnidirectional. Now, the song itself is very complex. In fact, it's the most complex song in the animal kingdom. It has the high, real high squeals, and it has the real deep bass notes all coming from the same whale, and it lasts about 25 minutes, the full song. The song itself changes every 3 years. So the first beginning of this year, the first third of the song roughly changes at the end of the season, is gone, and the middle becomes the beginning next year, and the following year, the end becomes the beginning. Now, the interesting thing about this is since they've been studying the whale song, which was in the late 70s, they've never repeated the song. They never went back and said, let's do the hit of 95, okay? They just, it changes constantly, and every whale sings the same song from the North Atlantic. And the question is, who changes it?
Who's the conductor? Who's the whale conductor? Who writes the songs? Or who writes the whale songs?
Atlantic
sing. Yeah, yeah. Barry Whalenlow or something. I don't know.
Whalenlow, you're right.
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, but okay, what about a language? Do you see any patterns develop? Has anyone tried to piece this stuff together? I know they think there's certain sounds dolphins make and killer whales make that actually might translate into some type of language. Is that type of research going on with humpback whales too, or no?
Well, that type of research is going on with humpback whales. And other big marine mammals like blue whales. Dr. Chris Clark from Cornell University is kind of at the top of his field for that. I've sent a lot of my recordings to Dr. Clark. The problem with humpback whale research right now is because they're coming back so strong, a lot of money and a lot of time isn't being spent studying them like they used to. They're devoting the money that they get in grants and things to more endangered species right now.
Right. Okay. All right. So nobody's learning how to talk whale yet other than Dory on Finding Nemo. She speaks whale, right?
It seems that way.
Right.
I'm not saying that they don't study it. I'm just saying that...
I mean, don't you do a whale call? I thought I heard you say that in one of the presentations that you used to have a whale call you would do.
Well, I've learned to imitate that sound a little bit through my snorkel when I'm in the water. And a lot of the times it has a very interesting reaction where you'll have the female, which typically the female is going to be the one that interacts with us in the water. The males kind of tolerate it, but all they care about is being next to the female. So if we can get the female interested in us, the male's going to hang out because he wants that female. So by imitating this sound through your snorkel sometimes, the female, even if I would get out of the water, change my film, get back in the water, the whale could be 150 feet away with other people, I make that noise and the whale will come right over to you. Okay, so there's something going on there. They do.
So you figure, are you singing? You think is that what you're mimicking that song?
I'm trying to imitate their song.
See, I was doing it earlier. I went. Yeah, that's
whoop,
what I can.
Whoop,
yeah. Whoop, whoop. That was
a lot
one
of whoop, whoops in there.
Okay, I didn't hear the whoop, whoop. So I have to work that into my whale calling card, I guess. But fascinating stuff. And of course, if you can go to aquaticadventures.com, is some of this information on there too?
Absolutely. There's a great section on behaviors and anatomy where you'll see photographs of and explanations of the different behaviors out there. There's a video section where you'll see a lot of these soft in water encounters and behaviors that we're talking about in high def video, as well as an audio section where you can sit and actually listen to the song.
Nice. Now, you do a bunch of adventures around the world, South Africa. Tell us a little bit about that whole part of your biz.
Well, I have another company called Adventure Quest X, which really covers all the continents, whether you want to go to Asia or Nepal, you want to go to Africa, you want to go to Antarctica. We have trips set up that, with operators that have great guides, very safety conscious and very service oriented operators that we've chosen in all these different destinations.
So if you want to do whales or anything else more adventurous, you can go to aquaticventures.com and find a link to that business as well, I'm guessing, right?
Well, it's actually Adventure Quest X, which is an affiliate. It's really, I split the companies apart because I was running other trips through Aquatic Adventures, and what I did is I kept Aquatic Adventures just for the whales of the Silverbank, and now I moved all the other trips over to Adventure Quest X. We still run everything, and we still set up everything like we do for the humpback whales as far as service and safety and just all in all, great destinations and operators that we utilize.
Nice. Well, Tom, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being our host on this adventure. The whale man, Tom Conlin, go to aquaticadventures.com and book this trip. And go to exploreventures.com. He uses their boat, and there's a reason. This is one of the best boats out there in the Caribbean. You will enjoy the whales. You'll enjoy the Turks and Caicos wherever you go on this boat. Or any of the destinations that Explore Ventures serves, you will be a very happy diver, or snorkeler in this case, for sure. All right, that'll do it for this week for myself, for Mr. Walt DeMartini, and of course the Mermaid Puppet. Watch for that video coming to a YouTube channel near you. See, how much is that video again, Walt?
$19.99.
Yes, of course it is. All right, till next week, remember, it's always better down where it's wetter. Good diving, everybody.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.